Well, blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you for joining me on the Word Podcast. We are going to continue examining the fifth Psalm today, Psalm 5. We looked at the first half of it in the previous episode, but I want to back up and look at that again, just read it real quick, then look at the last of it. So Psalm 5, verse 1 says this, "To the choir master, for the flutes, a psalm of David." So David wrote a psalm, sends it to the music director, the choir master. He says, hey, use that flute ensemble on this one, okay? Or it may mean use this particular tune. We simply don't know what the Hebrew word means. And so I try not to be dogmatic with that. Even in reading it, you always want to examine that. So David says this, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." That prepare a sacrifice, it can also mean I direct my prayer to you. So it's literally the idea that I'm offered up a sacrifice of prayer, a sacrifice of praise to you, and then I watch, I wait. Verse 4, "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." So that's the end of verse 6, which we covered in the previous episode. The next word, verse 7, you can probably guess it when I lead it in that way, right? But I, so this is David speaking, "but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you." So David is saying this, hey, you know, all this stuff's going on. You hate evil. I'm crying out to you. I'm asking that you'll listen to me. But you know what, God? I am going to enter into your presence. I'm going to enter your house. And it's only through the abundance of your steadfast love that I can do this. And he says, I'm going to bow down toward your holy temple, toward your presence, in the fear of you. And there's probably some interesting little nuances there. You know, David had the tabernacle of David at the same time they had the Mosaic tabernacle going on. And so is this what he's referring to? And I'm going to come into your presence? Maybe. But he's saying he could only do this because of the abundance of God's love. But not just love, the abundance of your steadfast love. So out of that, verse 8, David has this request. It says this, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." I know a great worship song that's on that verse right there, one from probably 30 or 40 years ago that wasn't popular or anything like that, but just some guys I knew in Nashville had written this thing. And I can't read that verse without wanting to sing that because it's that profound. You know, he's saying, Lord, lead me. I'm asking you, Lord, to lead me and lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies. And the more you think about that, the less I understand it. Yes, Lord, lead me. And I want you to lead me in your righteousness, but because of my enemies. What he's saying is, my enemies are coming against me. They're trying to destroy me. He's about to say it in the next verse, they're lying and all this kind of stuff is going on. But because of my enemies, Lord, I'm asking that you will lead me, that you will lead me in your righteousness, because I can do nothing. No righteousness of mine will suffice in this situation. So, Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies. And you might say, well, should we not desire to be led in the righteousness of the Lord in all situations? Well, yeah, but of course. Yes, yes, yes. But he's bringing in the fact that the enemies are really distracting him right here. So, Lord, I need you to do this. And then he said, make your way straight before me. Make your way straight. It's not that God is intentionally putting a crooked path in front of us. Okay, not that he's not trying to deceive us. He's not trying to hide things from us. No. But what the psalmist is saying, he said, I need to know your way. I need to know your path. I need it to be made straight before me. I need to know what to do. Well, why? Well, the next verse, verse 9 says, for, F-O-R, sort of like therefore, for there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with the tongue. So he's describing what he's facing. And every one of these elements have cross-references that you find in the prophets, in Proverbs and things like that. He's saying, God, you know what's happening here. There's no truth in the eyes and the mouth of my enemy right here. As a matter of fact, deep within them, their very being is set upon destruction and upon destroying David. Their throat is an open grave. In other words, every word that they speak is trying to lead him to death. They flatter with their tongue. And so these are not enemies that are coming at him necessarily with a sword and trying to kill him in that way. These are ones that are coming trying to destroy him and by flattery with the tongue, trying to set him up, that kind of thing. Verse 10, make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. He's saying, God, lead me in this. Lord, help me in this, because my enemies have come against me. You're the one, we've seen this in the previous Psalms, you're the one that's placed me in this position. They've really rebelled and continue to rebel against you. And so, Lord, make them bear their guilt. I'm trusting in you to bring forth that. Okay, let them fall by their own counsels, the very things that they're saying against me and against you, bring that upon them. They have an abundance of transgressions. Because of that, God cast them out. But then that powerful word again in verse 11, but, this David's still speaking to the Lord, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. And so you see that David's dealing with the wicked, with the enemies, with the ones that are going to be destroyed by God if they don't repent. But then he comes back and says, hey, those that take refuge in you, which we've seen in previous Psalms, let them rejoice. Let them sing for joy because you have spread your protection over them. And the ones who love your name, that they will exalt or exult, E-X-U-L-T, exult in you. Okay, they will exult in you. And now remember, this is a thing sent to the choir master. This is something that's going to be sung, going to be played, and used in worship. And so the singers will be singing it. The people will pick it up. They will be singing it. And those who take refuge in the Lord will be rejoicing. Those that are wicked will have the truth brought before them in song, by the king, and will have to make a decision. Are you going to go the way of the Lord, or are you going to continue to go your own way? The last verse, verse 12. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. And there's that shield thing that we saw in a previous psalm. And also the whole thing is spreading protection over you, the things that he's saying that God does for those who take their refuge in him. The righteous will bless the Lord. The Lord will cover the righteous with favor as with a shield. You ever heard the phrase, the favor of the Lord? It comes from verses like this. The Lord desires to release his favor upon us. Will we receive? Will we take refuge in him? Will we trust in him? Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thanks for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.